I'm Holly.
And I'm Bridget.
And this
is Girls Next Level.
Welcome back to Girls Next Level, everyone. We've got a little bit of an interesting episode today because we're talking about this baby shower episode that we were talking about last time we checked in with y'all. And it involves somebody that we used to be friends with and are kind of like at an impasse with now. And we're recording this a little bit ahead of time because like my kids are getting ready for spring break and we're going to be away from each other. So we're recording a few ahead of time. So by the time this airs, like the drama might be resolved, but we'll definitely keep you guys posted. You're definitely catching us in a moment right now. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, it's an interesting moment too. And it's interesting that it lines up with this episode.
Totally.
So there's a lot going on.
Absolutely. So where did we leave off with the episode? Was it the cat and dog scene?
Yeah, it was the scene where I'm waiting for Dolly the dentist to come over and I had to put Gizmo in her bag and Wednesday is bugging her and she rolls herself over and off the little thing. Nobody was hurt. No animals were hurt in the making of this episode. Everybody was fine. And then zooms in on Kendra's windows and she has a bunch of like sporty tomboy stuff for the baby shower.
Oh, was the scene jarring to you?
What do you mean?
Like something she says, which when she says it, it's not how we would process that sentence today.
Wait, I'm looking to see what she said.
Well, she has all this tomboy stuff because she's basically saying like, I love tomboy stuff. Like when I have a kid, she's going to be a tomboy, blah, blah, blah. So this is what I'm giving Victoria. And then she says, if I have a girl, I'm going to pimp her out. And I know that that's not what she means when she says it. Because back in the 2000s, when you were talking about pimping something out, it meant you were like, upgrading it, like pimp my ride or putting somebody in like nice clothes or hip hop clothes or putting diamonds and jewelry or like that was pimping something out.
Yeah.
But nobody really uses that terminology that much anymore. So now if somebody says, if I have a daughter, I'm going to pimp her out. I'm like, no, don't say that.
I'm not
trying to throw Kendra under the bus. Like I know that's not at all what she meant. But when you're watching this show from today's standpoint, I'm like, oh.
Okay. I have the line in here, but I totally thought nothing of it. But now that you pointed it out, I totally get what you're saying. Because I still think of, oh, I'm going to pimp it out as something like, I'm going to totally decorate it. I'm going to rhinestone it. I'm going to like make it my own. I'm going to make this so cute and so cool and over the top kind of thing. It never occurred to me like legitimately pimping her out.
Yeah, nobody, I think if somebody says, I'm going to pimp somebody out, it's like, ugh.
Let's not get into trafficking. So interesting.
And again, to make it clear, that's not what Kendra meant. I'm not. It's just when I watch this back and I hear it, I'm like, oh. And then she goes, right now, my dogs are the only ones I can pimp out, which gives me a whole other visual I don't want to see.
God. And then they show Rascal like all pimped out.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Then the next scene is you arriving at the bunny house.
And I'm trying to make the Playmate house happen again. I have not learned my lesson that setting up for parties at the Playmate house is a fucking boring ass thing to watch. But I'm trying to make it happen. Just trying to make Fetch happen. The rotting chair is still sitting next to the door. And did you notice there's like a, I think it's a phone book in front of the door? Do you remember back in the day, like phone books would get dropped off in front of your house and they'd often be like tied up in a plastic bag, like in case it rained. And it looks like there's a phone book. I mean, I could be wrong. Maybe that's not what it is, but it looks like there's a phone book sitting in front of the house. But that's even more weird because this was like the property was gated. So like what phone book newsboy got in there and put the phone book there?
Maybe it was left out. Well, this doesn't make sense either, but I was going to say maybe it was left out by the mailbox or by the front gate and somebody just brought it in and threw it up by
the... it in. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's not even a phone book. It's just like that's what it looked
like.
No,
I bet it is.
And I was like, blast from the past.
I have not thought of a telephone book, like a physical telephone book in a million years.
Do you remember how they smelled?
Yes, I do, actually.
I feel like I can't think of a phone book without remembering how it smelled. It was like that newspaper smell.
Yeah, like a printy
like
press.
Really strong.
Inky.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's so weird. And the pages were really flimsy and light.
Yeah. So what I'm doing over the Playmate house is I'm setting up for the games. And I got the ideas for the games from you. And I wanted to go with like all the gross out games. I was really into gross out humor at the time. I thought it was like just a funny contrast for us just because we're supposed to be like these prissy, pretty girls. And we're going to be like sniffing poop diapers. That's really obviously candy bars. But the idea of this game is you're supposed to guess what candy bar is melted in the diaper. And some of them have like peanuts in it. And some, yeah. So it's really like gaggy and gross and stuff. So I was down for some gross out humor. And a lot of people actually hit me up on MySpace at the time after this episode aired and said that they did those games in their own baby showers that they planned. So kind of a hit. Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a fun game.
Mm-hmm.
I personally like games at baby showers. I know a lot of people do not. It's kind of, I think it's kind of an anti thing right now.
Yeah, it's definitely not what people like to do. But I think you have to just know your audience. Like, you know the people you're inviting. You know what kind of game people might be into. And it just evolves over the years. Like, it used to be, like, I don't think I ever went to a baby shower where this was a thing. But I used to hear people talk about it. Like, back in the day, like, when I was super young, it used to be the big game was, like, guessing how many centimeters big the pregnant lady's stomach was. And yeah. Everybody would guess. And then she'd measure her stomach, mm-hmm. which could kind of, that might give somebody some body image issues.
That was definitely a game, though. That was
the main game.
Yeah, when my aunts were pregnant and stuff with like some of my cousins or whatever, I remember that game being played.
And I also think like that game sounds so boring to me. And I don't even think I have an actual gauge of like how many inches around a person's stomach would be.
Yeah. And it's funny, too. I think I gave you this game, too. Another game was you, as a decoration, you put like a whole bunch of like baby clothes or baby things like a spoon and whatever, uh-huh. all these like baby needs stuff mm-hmm. on like a clothesline. And it's out like it's just decoration. Mm-hmm. But then at some point during the shower, you just walk over and kind of put it away and put it in another room. And then you ask people, you give everybody a piece of paper, what was on the clothesline? And they have to think of how many things they remember.
Oh, and nobody was warned?
No.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So like you had to like try and remember what was all on there. And
yeah.
That's another game I remember. One of the oldies but goodies.
That's mysterious. And I'm noticing, so they're cutting back and forth between me at the Playmate House setting up and you doing the cat dentist. And it doesn't seem weird or anything. It just seems like they're filling time up until the baby shower. But usually when they cut back and forth between scenes like that, there's like a direct juxtaposition, like Winnie and Gizmo fighting upstairs, me and Barbie fighting downstairs at the fight night, you know?
Right.
I don't think there is a juxtaposition here. I think they're just filling the space. Like, I know they're concentrating on animals because those are our babies and this is a baby shower episode. But do you see any correlation between those scenes, or do you think it's just they're filling it with what they can fill it with?
It's funny that you bring this up because I was thinking about this too, and I had a couple of different thoughts. One, mm-hmm. I think it's just really trying to show me being motherly to them yeah. and that I put that first before mm-hmm. going. Everybody knows how much I love decorating for events and yeah. being part of a party and that I'm usually there helping you. So why aren't I there? And I don't even know if in real life this happened on the same day. Do you?
Oh, I doubt it.
I doubt it too.
I highly doubt it. Yeah.
But so it's showing me do that. So that's maybe the reason. But then I also think that it's just trying to show me not, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong on the second one.
What do you think?
I think it's sort of part of the first one too, that like not helping you. I feel like there's something in there, like not me not being there and part of it too.
Do you think they're finally trying to give me a moment? Like, oh, motherhood and wanting a family is Holly's thing. They're usually not that cognizant of trying to do that, I don't think. But I'm just trying to wonder like what this is other than just strictly filling time.
So I kind of thought of it as a more negative thing than that. I kind of thought of it as like Bridget's off doing this and this is why she can't help with the party. It's mm-hmm. motherly, but does she really need to be there for it? Like she's not helping with the party kind of thing.
Huh. I didn't jump to that at all. I mean, it could be.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I think the first thing is more accurate, that mm-hmm. they're trying to show me being motherly.
Yeah.
And that's why I can't come and help set up for the party. I don't know.
Yeah.
I thought it was a strange scene. I thought it's strange how it goes back and forth between these two scenes that have nothing to do with each other.
Yeah. And it definitely, it breaks pattern in a lot of ways. And I'm not complaining about it breaking pattern at all. But also in this episode, I don't feel like they're forcing Kendra into it as much as they usually do. Because we've seen a handful of episodes up to this point where it seems like they put really random Kendra scenes in because she doesn't really have anything to do.
Well, it started out with the bee scene.
Yeah, I think that's the best they can do. And other than that, we don't see too much of her, which is rare and unusual and kind of like maybe a sign of the show evolving a little bit because it does change over the years. Like they're finally giving me a moment, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know what the answer is, but I do think it's interesting because usually when they cut back and forth, I can see like a really cool thread that they're connecting those and mm-hmm. contrasting. But at this point, I'm kind of stumped. And then you have to put Gizzy in this burrito straitjacket. Was that for the show?
Before we go there, I want to talk about, too, how you have to use the kitchen at the Playmate House to do this because you can't use the kitchen at the mansion. And do you think it's weird that we just didn't have the shower at the mansion?
I think it was probably my idea to not do it. I really like the interior of the Playmate House for TV, not the ugly dining room. But, you know, that house was designed, not the house designed, but the house had been most recently decorated for reality TV. Like they had the really bright colored walls and everything like that. So I really felt like we should use it more. And I think that's why I'm always trying to make fetch happen with like, I'm setting up for a party over there, even though it's totally boring. So I think it was probably my idea. And I wanted to do the thing with like Victoria's art everywhere. And because Victoria does such bright pop art, it looked good against those like bright colored walls. And I couldn't really do that like in the mansion dining room. So I think it's just like, it was my idea, but it was like just giving a different look to the show.
Yeah. So then the next scene is that Dolly Dentist is arriving. Well, she was amazing, but Gizmo was not having it. And we had to put her in the burrito.
And did you notice at some point you say, let's get undressed, and they play the striptease music?
Yes.
That's funny.
Yeah. It's when I'm like taking her out of the jacket. But basically, it just makes it so that they can't scratch and, you know, kick and everything. And Gizmo needed it. And I had Dolly come even after I moved out of the mansion. Mm-hmm. And she still had to use the straitjacket for her.
It's so precious, the straitjacket. It is
just that little
cat burrito. Oh, my God.
I mean, she was so pissed. But then, I mean, it shows her getting done. And I thought she was going to just take off and, like, go under the bed and hide. But she, like, runs for, like, two steps. And then she just kind of stops and says, oh, no, I guess that feels good.
Yeah.
Like, I think she didn't care once she was, like, let go. It's finally sunny here again in LA, and I have been pulling out my shady rays. I'm so excited about these glasses. They're so cute, and it makes it so fun on my walks. Everyone asks me, like, where I got them. Shady Rays. Get ready for the season ahead with quality shades built to last. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered with premium polarized shades that won't break the bank. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company offering a world-class product rated 5 stars by over 300,000 people. Their shades have durable frames and crystal clear optics, making them the perfect choice for all outdoor adventures. I love wearing them when I'm out on a walk or out on a hike or driving in my car, but what I love most about them is the style. Like, I love how big they are. I always love oversized glasses. They have many styles and colors to pick from, so finding your next pair of shades is a breeze. But for me, it was the oversized with like a little slight cat eye. I just love them. And here's some of the best parts about Shady Rays. If your shades go MIA or take a hit, don't sweat it. They've got lost and broken protection, so you're covered from day one. Wear your Shady Rays with confidence because they have your back long after your purchase. And hassle-free shipping and returns. If you don't love your shades, exchange or return them worry-free within 30 days. There's no risk when you shop. And as if that wasn't good enough, exclusively for our listeners, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the season. Head to ShadyRays.com and use code NEXTLEVEL for $20 off Polaroid sunglasses. Try for yourself the shades rated 5 stars by over 300,000 people.
So then it cuts back to me at the kitchen of the Playmate House, and I'm setting up, you know, the props for these games, and it's playing like this weird plodding music, like, and I think they're playing it to like communicate that I'm again failing at trying to do anything domestic, but I don't think I am. Like I thought that game was funny for TV.
Okay, so I'm gonna go back to my original, like my second thought on this again then, because this is, that sort of plays into what I was thinking, although I just didn't want to say what I was totally 100% thinking. I think they're trying to say, and it didn't work out because everything went fine with this, but I think that they were trying to say Bridget can't help with this. And now Holly's trying to do it herself. And we know what happens when Holly tries to do something herself. But Bridget's busy being mom to her pets. And now let's watch Holly struggle and fail because she's got to use the microwave.
But the weird thing is am I struggling or failing? Like, I can tell what they're trying to do. They're trying to make it look like I'm just plotting and don't know what I'm doing.
No, I don't think they ultimately get what they want out of it. But
they
were
hoping.
I think that's where they thought this was going. And I think they thought they could make it look like that's what happened.
Yeah, it's so dumb.
And at some point, I think they changed their mind and be like, let's not go that direction.
Yeah.
Or it didn't go that direction. So we can't make it look like it went that direction. But I think that that is what they were trying to do.
Yeah. It just goes to show like we weren't as included in the creative as we could have been. And we were just in two different mindsets, me and the production. Like production is thinking, let's watch Holly try and set up a party and fail. But I'm thinking, let's do gross out humor.
Yeah.
And it's just like not gelling really because we're totally in different thoughts. And if they just would have been open to hearing our thoughts a little bit more, maybe we could have collaborated a little bit better.
Yeah.
But that was not the case.
Well, and I just want to say too that back to Gizmo, she gets such a, and I've talked about this before, but she gets such a bad rap. She really was a cuddly, sweet kitty.
Yeah, I don't remember her making a lot of noises in real life.
No. And I mean, this scene makes her look horrible and stuff too. And I talk about it in like an interview. I say, she's actually really sweet, cuddly little lover too. And I feel like I can hear Kevin like cracking up because I think Kevin hated cats, was for one. And for two, I think he just thought it was hilarious to make Gizmo look like the biggest bitch possible.
I think in his mind, Gizmo had a personality he invented that was like Lucifer and Cinderella. Like Gizmo was a cartoon character, which sadly, I think also we were cartoon characters in his head and he decided what our personalities were and could never be convinced otherwise. Like even in the spinoff years, Kendra would say to him, you believe the show. Like you come up with something and then you convince yourself that's what's real. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's totally true. Yeah, I definitely think he thought of her as Lucifer.
Yeah.
And I think he just got a kick out of making her look so horrible. And then me in an interview going, no, she's totally sweet and nice and cuddly and everything. And then showing her going, and like, you know, striking at people and stuff.
Did you ever see that weird doll thing somebody made for YouTube?
A doll thing?
We talked about it a long time ago, probably on one of the first episodes of this podcast. This was back in the day when the show had just premiered. YouTube was brand new. There was nothing on YouTube. And I remember like this video, if you watch it now, it just looks like somebody playing in their room.
But I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. But back then I remember just being so impressed with anything I saw on YouTube. I thought it was so cool. And Hef and I watched it and it was like a spoof on Girls Next Door and they did it with Barbies and they only made like one little mini episode and they never made any more. But the gag was you trying to play with Gizmo and saying how sweet Gizzy was. And Gizzy was like, "Wah!" and like dragging you around by your hair and stuff. But somebody found it and like gave me the link. It's like still up there. I'll try and put it on our Girls Next Level YouTube in one of our playlists. Because I have a playlist titled Clips that's just like anything that's not on our page that kind of pertains to the show and is helpful.
Yeah.
So how fucking adorable is your present for Treece?
You know what I'm bummed about?
What?
So they show it in my room before I wrapped it. Like I have the wagon sitting there and I have the blanket on it, but none of the presents are wrapped inside of it. They're just, all the presents are just sitting there.
But it looks so cute even as it is. Like I didn't know that wasn't the finished product.
No, see, I hate it. And
really?
And then I can see when I'm taking the wagon down the stairs, I put all the wrapping paper. I must be going over early to help you.
Yeah.
Even though they make it look like I'm not participating in it. Because I bring it all over and I have all the wrapping paper and all the stuff to wrap it inside the wagon with it. Mm-hmm. And then I catch a slight glimpse of it later and everything's like all wrapped and cute inside the wagon. But when they show it, it's before I even finished. I didn't even do it yet.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I was blown away by how it was. I was like, oh my God, that's the cutest display.
Thanks.
Shut the fuck up. And I really like legitimately wanted to hire you to do a gift basket for me recently, but it was this recent last time you were out of town because I was meeting up with Trisha and she's pregnant. She's naming her baby Elvis. And I got like all this Elvis stuff and I made a basket and I was able to kind of put a basket together, but it wasn't like the cutest thing in the world. It was just like a basket and the stuff was kind of arranged and like the cellophane over it. But I thought, you could have done a really cute job.
Oh, see, I love that. Well, I have to figure out how to get that wagon downstairs. And I don't want Ruth to help me because she's just, I know she's a butler and it's part of her job. And I say that in quotes because I don't know really if that's part of her job kind of thing. But she's so tiny. And like, I just wanted like some big, strong guy to help me go take it down. Not that she couldn't help or whatever. But, and obviously the two of us were able to do it and bring it down. But I was like, even I was thinking when I was looking at that, how in the fuck am I getting that down over across the street?
So I'm nervous watching that wagon go downstairs. I'm scared it's going to spill. And I notice your shoes are in the wagon.
Oh, yeah. I shook my heels off to go and do that. Oh, and then it cuts to Kendra.
Yeah, people were asking you about this. I was asking everybody on Instagram if they had questions about this episode. And people were like, were you pissed that Kendra only put her present in a bag? I'm honestly more on board with the Kendra bag situation than people would think. Because first of all, like, I fucking love an amazing presentation. Like, your wagon, amazing. I dreamed of making an Elvis basket. That would have been amazing. But also, like, I think it's an amazing bonus if the present is presented great. But I also don't hate on people who show up with a gift and, like, the bag isn't great. And I recycle gift bags a lot.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like even I do that to this day. Like, I prefer to do, like, a cute wrap and a cute presentation. But sometimes, you know, you're last minute and you got to. And even, like, you go to Target and they'll have, like, a whole aisle for party stuff. Sometimes the bags aren't great and you can't even find the color of bag you want.
Yeah.
So I'm honestly not even hating on the Christmas bag.
People might be surprised by this, but I don't hate on the bag either.
Yeah.
I do not care at all how other people want to give their gifts. Mm-hmm. And the only thing I hate about this is that she grabbed a Christmas bag. I just feel like you could put a little bit of thought into it. Like, you could at least just go to the party store and pick up just a plain colored pink bag for a girl or whatever color goes with your gift or something like that.
Also, do you feel like that her and the show were kind of like thinking it was funny to like do that on purpose?
Probably.
Because I feel like they've done this gag a couple times. Like, there was the Kara sleepover where she like forgot her present and then it was like a ripped bag. And I feel like it's happened a couple other times.
The cards.
Yeah, for Winnie's birthday. She always has to like go down to the office and get something at the last minute. It's like, okay, we've seen that once.
Well, and she got the card for this too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when people say it's the thought that counts, I mean, that means like the card and the bag and the gift and stuff, like putting thought into what you're going to get somebody. To me, that means, and it's not just, oh, I had to get them a gift. It's putting thought into the whole process. And so, I don't know, for me, that's where the negativity comes, but it's not because she put it in a bag. Oh.
Yeah, I feel like it's an old gag. We've seen it before. I don't care. I feel like she put thought into like the gift part of it. And
yeah, but I
didn't think anything of it.
I think Kevin's trying to show here you are going all out throwing this party for her. Here I am. I have this elaborate gift that I'm like, you know, need help getting over to the other house. Mm-hmm. And then Kendra's like throwing things in a Christmas bag at the last minute. But I thought what Kendra got her was adorable.
Yeah, I thought it was good stuff.
And I'm even shocked that Kendra like thought of those things or found those things.
Yeah, it was a great gift. It was good, useful stuff. It was good for the show because it like correlates with Kendra's personality. Like all our gifts usually kind of go with our personality. I thought it was a good gift.
And then I'm down at the door.
I'm obsessed with this next scene. It's so cute.
So Winnie gives me the look. Well, I think I was going to take her with me.
Yeah.
But because my hands were so full, I forgot to grab her leash. So I couldn't take her at that moment. I think I was thinking I'd come back for her maybe or whatever.
Yeah.
But she gives me that look and she really wants to go. So I'm thinking, well, maybe I'll just take her outside and then bring her back in and come back for the leash or go up and get the leash or whatever. So I take her outside just to go potty really quick. I'm clearly in a hurry and need to hurry up and get over there. And she sees that opportunity to take off.
I love the shots of her running. It's so cute.
And some of those, so here's the thing. They didn't even catch the reel of this. There's parts of it that they catch as real, but if you see parts of it are from her birthday.
Yeah, people were pointing that out.
So, but this was like a thing, you guys. I was calling her and she takes off to go in the backyard. The camera crew could not keep up with it. Duh. But just as I was about to catch her, she'd get this look on her face and she'd go, and she'd take off running again. And I had to go running. And this was like repeated like 5 or 6 times. She'd started chasing the birds in the backyard, which is a big no-no.
Watching it and hearing you talk about it, like I feel nervous. Like I feel that feeling. First of all, how did you not get dirty? You were wearing white. And I know how muddy they could get sometimes, even just from the grass. So I'm shocked you didn't get dirty. But also like, scary. You don't want the dogs chasing the birds. The bird could peck the dog. Can't catch. You're in high heels. Like, I can feel that whole. And it's the stress of like any time. Like, even today it happens. Like, I'll be going somewhere and I'm running late and the dog escapes or the kids need something or like, you just can't get out the door. It's that feeling.
That was that day.
Girls Next Level is sponsored by BetterHelp. What's the first thing you'd do if you had an extra hour in your day? Would you work out? Would you bake something, spend more time with your family, call your mom? A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, for what though? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. And therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it.
As you know, I'm a huge fan of therapy, and that's exactly one of the reasons I love therapy so much, is it helps me with time management. I'm so incredibly grateful to be busy with all the things I'm busy with, but sometimes it gets to be so much, it starts to get overwhelming, it starts to give me anxiety, and I just need that unbiased person to talk to.
Therapy is so beneficial to so many people. You can learn positive coping skills and how to set boundaries, and just somebody to talk to sometimes just helps a ton. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/nextlevel to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/nextlevel.
I just remember being like totally freaked out because one, I feel like I'm running late. Mm-hmm. Two, I can't get dirty. Like, I'm wearing a white dress and I'm out the door already.
Yeah.
And then three, the drama of her being in the backyard when she's not supposed to be and chasing mm-hmm. the bird. She just thought that was so funny. I could tell by her face that she thought it was so funny to chase the birds and everything back there and get everything riled up back there. And as you can see, when I do finally get her, I'm holding her like a mile out from me because she's muddy and dirty now. Now she can't go over to the other house.
I like when you get mad at her and you call her Wednesday Adams.
Yeah, well, that's definitely
like
her
full name when you get mad at your dog. Like, Harlow was Jean Harlow. Louie is Lucifer Jones when I'm mad at him.
And then what I say, you little bitch or something like that. Oh my God. It was like, I could see the humor in it, but at the same time, it was so stressful and I was so mad at her. Like, I did not need this right now.
Yeah.
But watching it back, I'm laughing because she's so cute. And I know she thought she was funny.
It's so cute.
I know she thought she was funny. There's other times where I can tell that Winnie thinks she's funny right now.
It's such like a relatable moment, like I said, because I think everybody has that experience where they're running late and then the dog freaks out or their kid does something weird or something happens. And it's just like, okay, we live in this weird world, but it's like one of those just relatable things that happens.
And then we'd say it in commentary. I don't think it shows it in the show, but I had a camera, like a digital camera in my hand, and I dropped it chasing after her. And it broke. Although I didn't know it broke at that moment, because I guess it took, I say in commentary, it took like a couple pictures and then broke.
Oh no.
But it broke because I dropped it.
Damn.
You know? So it was just a nightmare scenario.
Costly.
And then I feel bad because like when I'm watching the scene back, because poor Winnie isn't at the party, and I know she would have loved to be at the party and all the attention from everybody and stuff like that. And now that she's not with me anymore, now I feel like all bad and guilty that I left her home.
Yeah.
I hate that.
Mm-hmm. So then it cuts back to the Playmate house, and Lori, the pastry chef, brings over an adorable cake that she made for Victoria, which looked like a quilt and that had like a picture of Victoria when she was a kid in the middle. Excuse me, did you finger the cake?
I did.
What?
I did. In the back, behind.
That's
just
so
like
funny.
A little, little taste of the frosty.
You know what? Victoria did this big portrait of me that Hef hung in his bedroom. It had like a pink background. And I loved it at the time because she made it. And I was like super flattered that Hef wanted to hang it up in his room. And like, maybe, I don't know how long ago this was, maybe like 5 years ago, she said she had an extra copy of that painting and it was really big and it was taking up a lot of space in her storage. And did I want it? And I said I didn't want it. And the reason is not because I didn't want a painting by her or anything, But because the painting was based on a picture of me that was taken in probably like 2002, 2003, like I know the time period because it's like super short, like white blonde hair, like super plucked, bleached out eyebrows. And I hate looking at myself from that time period because those years were so bad.
Yeah.
That was like the Mean Girls era. Mm-hmm. That was like the super depressing time. And I just hate any photos of me from that era. And I also think I look really bad in that era. And I think part of it was just how miserable I was like manifesting.
Yeah. For sure. I was talking in commentary in this too that Victoria said she was going to paint one of me and she asked for like a whole bunch of photos and stuff. And I gave them to her, but she never did.
No.
To this day.
So people start arriving for the party.
Oh, and did you see Crystal, Hef's former girlfriend?
Crystal Camden, Hef's former girlfriend.
Yeah.
Those rascally lower thirds. So guests start arriving. A girl named Aubrey comes. You guys probably don't know her because you haven't seen her on the show before. She was Ray Manzella's girlfriend at the time, who's Katie Manzella's dad, who's on the podcast. And it was a very small baby shower and I kept it very like Victoria centric, like who she would want. And Aubrey just looks really cute. She's like Betty Drapered out.
She does so look cute. Like Betty Draper. Yeah, 100%.
Adorable. And a lot of people were asking like, was this Victoria's only baby shower? And it couldn't have been.
So I was one of the people that asked you because I can't remember if it was or not, but because I just felt like there were so few people there.
Absolutely. There, I would bet you anything Mary threw her another one. And that this one was kind of like special for the show. Like, obviously, we wanted to do something for her genuinely and would have done it without the show. But since it was also for the show, you know, you want to keep it like kind of small and manageable and aesthetic and...
See, but I think it would have been so fun to have like some of all the older ladies that came to the mansion, you know, like Sheila and Gail and all those people coming too. And I think they would have been funny playing the diaper game.
I think they would have been funny too. I don't know why it wasn't that way. I'm going to guess the show didn't really want that. Like they want the parties to be all like hot girl slumber party and like it's okay if Mary's there, but...
Yeah.
So Victoria shows up. I think she's probably like 5 months along at this point because Therese was born in October.
And I talk about how she looks so tiny because honestly, when she walked in, I couldn't even tell she was pregnant. Yeah.
And we also did a baby food scene that they don't show where you like pass around different baby food without the label and you have to guess what flavor it is by like smelling it and tasting it. And some of them are really gross.
I honestly think eating the tasting and smelling the baby food was worse than doing the dirty diaper.
I can see that.
The dirty diaper is at least candy bars. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, I won that game. Yeah. Because I know my candy bars.
So in commentary, I say I'm totally down for the gross parts of parenting. I mean, you kind of have to be. But I will say as a parent, like the gross things like changing diapers and cleaning up puke and stuff, it's less gross when it's your own kid. Like you kind of develop like an immunity to it.
Yeah.
It's like if you're picking up your own dog's dog shit, that's manageable. Like it's gross, but you know how to like tune it out. But like if your dog's sitting somebody else's dog and you have to pick up their shit, I'm like, like, I don't know what that is, like how our brains turn, but
yeah,
we had to be to evolve and like get through life, I guess.
Yeah. And then somebody threw a dirty diaper at you at one point, and I was thinking, oh my God, because you're wearing a white dress too. And like, that's it kind of opens up and like comes towards you. I was like, oh no. Like, I was like, when I was rewatching this, I was like, gasping. Funny.
I think stuff was probably have been pretty hardened at that point
microwaved. Still looked scary.
I noticed something shocking watching this episode.
What?
I think this is the first time I'm watching this show where I feel like I'm actually like being myself in a scene.
Oh, like throughout the whole thing or just in this scene coming up?
I think in this scene where we're playing the game, I'm like, oh, I'm actually like being myself. I'm being normal.
Interesting.
I'm not like all Stepford wifed out.
Well, there's no Hef.
Yeah, there's no Hef. I'm around people I feel comfortable around. We've been filming the show for a season and a half.
Yeah.
I'm kind of in my comfort zone. Like, they're kind of giving me something to do.
That's what I was going to say. They're letting you lead something and, like, do something.
And I'm like, holy shit. I'm finally, like, watching myself and, like, recognizing myself. It's crazy. It's the first time from watching this show so far.
That's interesting.
And then in commentary, as we're watching this, there's this funny back and forth between you and Kendra where Kendra's like, Bridget, get your hand off my leg. And you're laughing. And Kendra goes, seriously, Bridget, get your hand off my leg.
I know.
You're
laughing.
And it's this funny bit that goes on for a while.
It keeps going on.
Yeah.
And she's just joking.
Yeah.
But I don't know where it's coming from.
I know.
It's or
so
like
funny.
Why she started doing it.
I know. And then Victoria poses in front of her cake and takes a picture. And she goes, do I look the same as like her 6-year-old picture? But she kind of does.
Kind of.
Kind of
yeah.
same face. Yeah. And they're kind of playing into your food thing a little
yeah.
bit. First with saying you won the contest, which you did in real life, but still. And then saying...
Putting my finger in the cake, tasting
putting
the...
your finger in the cake. And then they cut you in commentary, which is... This is clearly... I can always tell when it's a fed line that you're just repeating back, where they say, the most... Or the best part of a party is the cake or something like that. And I'm like...
Yeah, I do say that in an interview. And then it shows me like totally like zoning out on a piece of cake and I'm the only one eating... No, I don't know that I'm the only one eating it, but like they're really focusing in
yeah.
on me having the cake that in like... show anybody else like loving on the cake.
The cake does look fucking good though. It's
it
like
does.
A strawberry cream filling vanilla cake.
You know what? Fuck it, you guys. I like cake.
Me too.
I love cake. I love it.
I fucking love cake.
And I love candy bars.
Yeah.
I know my candy bars. You're not gonna mess me up. I know the difference between a Baby Ruth and a Twix.
Yeah. I can't think of Baby Ruth without thinking of that one movie where there's like
a
turd Caddyshack. In the pool and people are like, Baby Ruth,
Baby Ruth. I know.
That's
I can't
the only
either.
Thing I can think of. Then Hef comes over in the fedora.
Yes. Your favorite hat.
I know. I feel kind of sad about the fedora because it's one of those things where like, I don't know. It's like what you want to like tell your friend that they have food stuck in their teeth or like this looks really good on you, but like you don't and this maybe doesn't, but like you don't want to be rude. I'm just like, oh, the fedora, like,
yeah,
I don't know. It wasn't the look anyway. So the fedora wasn't the look, but he comes over and he says something that really bothers me. And I don't even remember if it bothered me that much then, but watching it back, it really bothers me.
Which part?
There's several to choose from. So he comes over and he goes, I heard somebody over here was expecting and I just wanted to make sure it wasn't mine.
Oh, yeah.
And I know like everybody laughs because, oh, he's Hef, so he must be fucking everybody. But and honestly, like, I don't remember if that bothered me at the time. I might have just been so numb to that kind of thing at the time. But watching it back, I'm like, not funny. And like, I know he's just trying to be funny, but I'm grossed out. Like, first of all, this is a friend of yours who you have never had sex with and you're friends with her husband and your actual girlfriend is there. Your actual girlfriend who actually wants a kid and you're joking like, oh, you maybe like randomly knocked somebody. It's just gross on all levels. And
yeah.
I'm grossed out by it. And I think it's rude.
100%. I know he was trying to be funny, but it's a very tacky and
yeah.
insensitive comment.
Like, I don't think it's one of those things where he's like trying to make me jealous or trying to be mean or
no.
Like, I don't think it's one of those. I do think he thinks he's funny, but I'm just like, it's not funny.
Like, I try to put myself in those shoes now. Like, if Nick were to walk over, we're at a baby shower and Nick came over and said something like that at the thing, I would be like, ew.
Yeah.
Gross. Don't say that shit.
Yeah.
Even if you think you're just being funny, it's not funny. Like, that's gross. Like, I would have that kind of reaction. But with Hef, you go,
yeah,
you know, and just go with it.
It's giving that scene in Braveheart where the king has to go around and fuck the newlyweds.
Ew.
That's what it reminds me of. Ew.
I forgot, but I put that scene out of my head.
I know. Like, I can't deal.
So excited about the stuff that I got from Quince, and it's almost time to put away my drawstring sweatpants and pull out the drawstring shorts. The weather's getting nice, and those are so comfortable, and I can't wait to start wearing them again. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. And I love that. Are you still loving your cashmere sweater?
Yes, I'm still the cashmere sweater queen. I am bringing my black one to New York with me this week. It's the perfect staple. I love it so much.
Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/next level for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/next level to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/next level.
So anyway,
but we go back to the gifts really quick. Yeah. So I wanted to say, we talked a little bit about what Kendra got her, like all tomboy mm-hmm. stuff and everything, but you got her all kinds of cute pink bunny stuff. And like,
yeah, I remember like a bunny robe that was like a little kid bathrobe with bunny ears. Super cute.
And the Mickey, we saw the Minnie Mouse onesie and stuff like that. And I think that some of the stuff I got her was some of the things, like I noticed that some of it was like electronics and things mm-hmm. that she wanted. Like, I think it was like the ear thermometer, like some practical yeah. things and stuff. But I also remember that I got her this little onesie that was a devil onesie.
Oh yeah, her first Halloween costume.
Yeah, I threw in very some cute Halloween stuff mm-hmm. in there too, because I say, I think it's in an interview, I say Kendra wants her to be a tomboy, but I'm definitely gonna make sure she has a girly side and likes Halloween too.
Yes, so cute.
Sorry, I'm wearing satiny pants and my notes keep sliding right off my legs.
You know what our gifts are giving? Remember how I said we're coded the chipmunks?
Yeah.
And we're also coded the three fairies from Sleeping Beauty. And you know how the three fairies come to Sleeping Beauty's birth and they each give her a gift? Like one of them gives her beauty and one of them gives her song. And then the other one gives, well, she's forced to like counteract Maleficent's spell because Maleficent comes. But like we're each kind of giving the baby like a part of ourselves. Like I want to give her like yes. the bunny stuff and you want to give her Halloween stuff and Kendra wants to give her the tomboy sporty stuff.
I just got to chill. You're absolutely right.
It's totally three fairies coded.
Oh, I also got her the book, Oh, the Places You'll Go by Dr. Seuss. And I still today love this book. And if ever I'm like really down, like I'll read that book again.
It's a really good book.
I mean, I feel like I would have that framed in my house. I feel like that book has such an important message. And if you've never read it, don't feel bad. Like, go buy it and or just go to the store and read it.
Yeah, it really resonates.
It really does.
It's really like true life wisdom in Dr. Seuss form.
Yeah. And I just find it so inspirational. And I do remember like lots of times when I was down, even when I was living at the mansion, I would pull that book out and read it. And mm-hmm. it just gave me like inspiration and like hope.
Yeah.
And it's so weird because I know it's a Dr. Seuss book, but every time I go to a baby shower, unless I think that they already have it, I get that book for somebody.
Yeah, it's so good. And then this next scene I genuinely think is funny. I thought it was funny then. I think it's funny
this
now.
This is the one I thought you were going to say. I think.
Oh yeah. No, I'm not grossed out on this. Like I play it up on the show like, but I thought it was funny then. I still think it's funny. So Victoria is sitting in this mid-century style chair that's called a womb chair, which is funny because she's pregnant. I don't know. All these connections.
Yeah.
It's a red womb chair. And Hef comes over and he sits down and he gets really serious. And he looks over at the chair and he goes, you know, when I look at that chair, I get very sentimental. And I'm over here thinking, oh, he's getting sentimental. Like he must think about how like maybe like his kids were born when he had that chair, like his first set of kids or something. Like he's going to have like some romantic story that has to do with the chair. He goes, I get really sentimental when I think about the chair because there's a picture of me in that chair holding the first issue of Playboy. And I'm like,
yeah,
that wasn't going where I thought it was going.
I don't think it was going where anybody thought it was going.
No.
We're here celebrating a birth and,
and
it's brought back to that.
Me holding the magazine.
John also shows up to the baby shower. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was nice that he thanked you for putting it on.
Yeah, that was sweet.
Yeah.
Did you know Teresa's name came from Dita Von Teese?
I did kind of know that, yeah.
Yeah, because I think she said that she wanted her last name to be Von Teese, but then like somebody printed it wrong and John heard that and he thought Teese was like a really good name.
And then the next scene, you're in the pink flannel jammies getting in bed with Hef. But this scene is so old. Like we saw this back at the first pictorials.
Yeah, you can see the same real estate books on the bed that you saw in season one. And it was shot while we were doing the pictorial, I think. And I look so bad. Like I'm clearly not afraid to be on TV without makeup. My face looks so bad. I look like I've almost had a stroke or something. Like I feel like my face looks so bad without makeup. naked mole rat.
Well, they do it to me too, like looking horrifying.
Oh, because they cut back to old footage of the downward lighting in your bathroom. Because yes. Didn't they use that in the Lodi episode?
I think so. But yeah. It has me, or one of the episodes, I think the Lodi episode was different because it was me curling my hair. This is me brushing my teeth. But this was like after AFI Awards when I took off all my makeup and clipped my hair all up and I was like washing my face and brushing my teeth. And it's so ugly and so bad and such horrible lighting. And it's from so long before this was this. And I'm like, I remember getting pissed that they used it. I'm like, well, we're so rude.
Yeah. Like, let's cut those out.
Yeah. And I'm also really offended because it shows you snuggling up with Hef and you guys are going to watch Flash Gordon. And we'll get to that in a minute because yeah. I think we should talk about that a little bit. And then it shows Kendra and she's in her room cuddling with her dogs and stuff. Oh, and by the way, in your room, Duke's on the bed and you're cuddling with Duke. Shows Kendra cuddling and playing with her dogs in her room. And then it cuts to me just doing that toothbrush scene. And it doesn't show me.
The worst scene.
Yeah, it doesn't show me cuddling with any of my animals at the end. Yeah, that's weird. And one of the reasons, I think it shows me petting Gizmo goodnight or something like that. But the reason that Wednesday's not in here is because Wednesday wasn't around yet.
Wednesday wasn't born.
And I'm just like, you couldn't have gotten or didn't have 2 seconds of B-roll of me in bed with my two animals?
They're kind of like rushed together. I think that's why when you have the scene that goes back and forth between me setting up the Playmate House and you doing cat dentist, there's maybe not the connection that they usually get, like that underlying kind of smart connection.
Yeah.
Like we don't have that. And they didn't really finesse the end of this so well with your footage. But also, I didn't even notice the animal thing. So thanks for pointing that out. But also, I was kind of grossed out with the way they set this up too, because they show me and have cozy in bed. And I forget what I say, but they're setting it up like, oh, you know, one day we're going to have a family, yeah. And blah, blah, blah. But I feel like what they have you and Kendra say, they're kind of setting it up. And maybe I'm just being paranoid, but I feel like they're setting it up to make it look like I really want this family. And the reason I can't have it is because you and Kendra are really digging your feet in and not leaving. Like, you're staying here. And I don't feel like in real life that's what you and Kendra wanted at all. But I feel like they always have to kind of throw that potential drama in there. Like, how long before Holly's really had it with these girls? And I hate that.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that for a second, because you look at the camera or in interview, you say, I've been with Hef for almost 5 years now and everything has been really great, but I do want to settle down one day, not necessarily this year or next year, but someday.
Yeah.
But then they have Kendra saying, when I went to Victoria's baby shower, really made me want one. It made me want a kid real bad. And then in interview, I say, I want the mansion to be a part of the rest of my life. Being involved with Hef, I am living a totally different life now, and it makes me more thankful for being here. And you can tell they Frankenbited this.
Yeah.
Totally. And I can't even tell what I was really trying to say in it.
Wow.
Because it's so Frankenbited. And I say, and being a part of this. But what I mean by that is, like I've said before in the Easter episode, like I could see my life with somebody else and having kids and the mansion still being a part of that and coming with my whole family to Easter and coming over for 4th of July and coming for buffet dinners and a movie and, you know, still being a part of it, still being friends with you. Yeah. And you guys have your little families and maybe we do kids nights or something, like having stuff and still it being a part of my life. Not, I'm not leaving here. I'm staying and Holly can just shut of it, like it or not, kind of thing. But that's what they're trying to make it seem
exactly like. And I hate that. Like, I know what you and Kendra each are trying to say. Like, Kendra's trying to say she wants a kid later. Like, nobody thinks Kendra wants a kid now. Like, when she does those outbursts, like in the Easter episode, I want a kid, I feel like that's just strictly attention. Like, nobody thinks Kendra wanted a kid right that moment.
Yeah.
And with you, I know exactly what you're saying too. Like, you want the mansion to be part of your life forever, but I don't think you ever wanted to like live there as a girlfriend for too much longer.
Right.
But they're setting it up to make it look like I can't have what I want because of you guys. And I don't like that. Like, I get it. The show needs drama, but I still don't like it. I feel like it puts me in a bad place. I feel like it's negative. I feel like it's women against women and I don't like it.
Yeah.
It's gross.
And then do you want to talk about Flash Gordon at all? Because Hef leans over and talks to the camera and says, like, get yourself a girl who likes to watch Flash Gordon. Like, he's all excited. Or 1937 serials or however he says it, you know.
Which I'm jealous because he got to break the fourth wall so much, because I love breaking the fourth wall. But it kind of gives me a chill just with like Crystal's book and everything coming out and all the press she's been doing and how she's been so open about saying how fake she was with Hef and how she just pretended to like everything he liked. And she fully admits this. I'm not drawing any conclusions. She's admitted it several times that she just faked liking everything he was into so she could climb to the top and stuff. And it just gives me a chill to hear him say that to the camera. Because I do think he was being very genuine in that moment and saying, like, I really love this relationship because she's really interested in these same things I'm interested in.
Yeah.
And to just think he had that mindset. And I wonder, like, do you think Hef was fooled by Crystal and thought she genuinely liked that stuff? Or do you think he knew what she was doing, but he didn't care as long as she was going through the motions?
I wish I knew the answer to that, but I don't. I didn't spend enough time with him to know. I can't imagine he'd be fooled.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like he was just going with it, but I don't know.
If I had to guess, based on knowing him for as long as I did, I think he knew Crystal was faking it. Because to really be interested in that kind of stuff and know about that kind of stuff, you have to have an extensive knowledge of it. And I don't think she did. And I don't think he was fooled. But I think the way he approached relationships was like he didn't care as long as he thought she was hooked enough and invested enough to make that kind of effort. And if he felt like he could kind of go through the motions of the rest of his life and have her fall into formation, like that was okay.
Yeah, I can 100% see that.
Which I just think is kind of sad and gross. And it just kind of, I don't know, like I watch this back and I see him talk to the camera and I'm just, it gives me a chill, like knowing what I know.
Mm-hmm.
It's creepy.
Yeah.
Anyway, where were we? We're talking about Flash Gordon.
Yeah, that was the end. Hef leans over and gives you a kiss on the head, and they show the scene from Flash Gordon.
Yeah, so Flash Gordon was a serial in the 1930s. It was a short thing they would show before longer movies, and he loved it as a little kid, and it's something that inspired Star Wars and Indiana Jones. In fact, like when you're going through the Indiana Jones ride at Disneyland, you're going through that long line to get there, and there's this tunnel. I call it the earwax canal, because you go through this tunnel, and it's covered in like this gross, like, waxy stuff. And that's directly from Flash Gordon. There's a scene in one of those serials where they go into this weird cave and like these creepy things come out and it's all waxy and gross. Like that's totally taken from that.
And the camera pans away from the mansion and you hear you say, "Love you, Puffin." And that's the end.
Yeah. Interesting.
Best and worst. I wrote down mine I can start with.
Yeah. So what is your best and worst from this baby shower episode?
So my worst for me, we already talked about it, is that they didn't show my gift completely put together.
Oh, yeah. Do you have a picture of it?
I don't think so.
Oh, bummer.
Also, Winnie being in trouble. I don't want to see her in trouble.
Yeah.
I'm really bothered by them not showing me cuddling with my pets and just showing like a really ugly scene and then like Gizmo wincing away from me at the end. I feel like that's an unfair thing to put in. And I know everybody else watching is probably thinking they didn't think anything of it, but I do. Like I'm very, very into my pets.
Yeah.
And miss them greatly. And there's lots of scenes of me with them. And I think it's so rude not to show a scene where I'm cuddling with one or both of them.
Yeah, I think it's very sloppy. I think this episode was very rushed and the thought wasn't put into it like the other ones.
Especially when they show you cuddling and Kendra playing with her dog. Like everybody else gets it, but I don't.
Yeah.
It's offensive to me because I'm obviously still not over the passing of my pets. And yeah. So I'm like, I deserve that scene. And then I think the worst is also kind of like where our relationship is with Victoria and John at this time.
Yeah. And we'll get into that after I say my best and worst. So best, I think, is just capturing the genuine friendship we had with Victoria and the other people that were at the baby shower, and just me watching and seeing myself being myself at the baby shower. I think that says a lot about where we were with the friendship and even where Hef's and my relationship was going and like my comfort level with the show. And it's kind of like the first sign I see of like things getting better. Because I always talk about my time at the mansion was like, first couple months, amazing novelty. Then it goes way fucking downhill. Then it starts to go up again when the cast change, when Kendra comes in and the Mean Girls leave. And then it slowly goes up and up and up and up and up until almost the last minute. And then it crashes down again. And this is like this is where I can slowly see since we've started the show, it's like really going up for me. Like I'm really starting to get enough confidence that I can kind of like be myself on camera. And even like the end scene, even though that was shot in season one, like that seems very genuine with like Hef talking to the camera and stuff. So I think there's some very nice, genuine moments in this episode. Worst, like you said, I think is like where our friendship with Victoria has gone since. Also worst, I think, God, what is my worst? There's a couple things I don't really like about this episode. I think worst is just the ending, how they try and kick it back to, I really want to settle down, but these fucking bitches won't leave. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like that's not where our friendship was. That's not where anything was at the time.
And we were all very much excited about doing the show at this point.
Yeah.
And like working together. I think my best for this episode was Winnie added to the opening.
Oh, yeah.
Seeing my pets being featured, of course. And then just like I can really tell in commentary that we're just getting along so well with Kendra, like joking like that.
Yeah, especially you and Kendra. Like you have this funny joke and I don't even know what it's about, but I can tell both of you think it's so funny.
Yeah. And yeah, there's like a definite bonding and like having fun with each other and being silly and stuff. And yeah. So I think that's really important to mention.
So a lot of you guys have been asking like where our friendship is with Victoria now, because she's been pretty vocal about some things online. And just so you guys know, like I reached out to Victoria and we're going to get together and have lunch and like talk shit out. And I'm sure that will have happened by the time this airs. And when I'm talking about what's happened with our friendship here, like I'm not trying to talk shit behind her back on the podcast. Like this is all stuff I would say to her. But yeah, it's weird. So we were pretty close friends when we were at the mansion. Not that I confided every single thing I was going through to her, because I didn't do that with anybody except you and Mary, mm-hmm. really. But we were pretty close and we stayed close, I think, by my standards anyway, since we left. Like we weren't hanging out all the time because I lived in Vegas. She lived here, but we kept in touch and we'd meet up every once in a while. Not as much as I would have liked to, but we lived in two different cities. We're both very busy, had a lot going on, but we kept in touch.
Well, she was at your wedding too.
Yeah, wedding, baby shower, like all the things. And then when my book came out in 2015, because I was saying things about Hef and I know how the Playboy world works, my philosophy with it was, I know I'm going to be shunned from that world. And I understand that. I understand how that works. So the way I operated was the book came out and I just didn't reach out to anybody in the Playboy world or Playmates because I just assumed everybody would hate me. Like you and I were close and still talked, obviously, but I can't really think of anybody else I was in constant contact with. Through that time period, I just assumed everybody would hate me. Like I knew what I was doing and what I was signing up for. Sucks it has to be that way, but that's just the way the world works. So I thought, well, I'm going to leave it in everybody else's court. Like if other people are still okay with me, they'll reach out. That's kind of how I left it. Like I didn't want to put anybody else in a spot. Like even you reached out to me when a book came out and you're like, oh, should I plug it? And I'm like, don't do it. Don't yeah. do it. Like people are going to piss at you. But Victoria was somebody I reconnected with and we did talk and, you know, we would DM regularly. And then we fell out of contact right around the time Secrets of Playboy came out. And I started hearing back from people. And you can't get too invested with things that fans or people online point out because sometimes they get more offended by stuff than I do, or sometimes they take stuff out of context or don't know the history. So you have to take it with a grain of salt. But I would get things from people saying, oh, Victoria said this and Victoria said that. And are you even friends with Victoria anymore? But anyway, I took it with a grain of salt. And I was just thinking about it as we were watching this episode. And I'm like, where did things go wrong? Because it seems like another example of one of those people who was okay with me after I wrote my book. But for some reason, Secrets of Playboy sent them completely over to the other side. And I'm really curious and I want to talk to her about it and just kind of get some insight into why that is.
I think what it boils down to is that there were some very crazy allegations in Secrets of Playboy. And I think you are getting blamed for it. Everybody's interviews. I feel like they feel like you started this or something, or that nobody would be saying all this stuff if you didn't say something. And I feel like they think you were producing it or something.
Which I absolutely wasn't. I mean, I can see how they think like maybe my book coming out started the ball rolling. And I do know that my book did inspire Secrets of Playboy because I was called to the very first meeting about it. And the guy sitting there had my book in his hands. He's like, oh, I saw your book. So I thought I'm going to look into this more, but I wasn't doing it. And when I agreed to participate, I wasn't saying anything different that wasn't already in my book. But you're right. I think some of the allegations that came out that are more shocking, mm-hmm. people get really defensive about, because if somebody is a Playmate, and that is what they do, tied to what they do for a living now, or people know them as a Playmate, they're out there meeting people and people like, oh, you were up there with that dog fucker or whatever. Oh, you know what I mean? And then that makes you defensive because you want to be like, well, I didn't see that. And that wasn't going on when I was there and I wasn't fucking dogs. You know what I mean? So I understand that defensiveness, but I also feel like these people are grown adults and we need to get to a place where we're mature enough to recognize that not everyone had the same experience. And you can't call somebody a liar because you just don't like what it casts on you. You know what I mean?
Or because it wasn't your experience there. Mm-hmm. Like, so that didn't happen to you, but that doesn't mean it didn't happen to somebody else.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, that's what I think. I think you're just being blamed for the whole thing.
Yeah.
For me and my situation, I feel like, are you even listening to what I'm saying?
No, I feel like people lump you in with me and then by association, everyone else. And like, I feel like if those people listen to our podcast, there'd be a lot they don't like because they think of Hef as Jesus Christ Almighty and he can't have one bad flaw. And how dare you say he doesn't look great in a fedora? Like they'd be mad about, like, I'm not joking. They would be mad about that. They'd be mad about me saying that's not his best hat out of all of his hats. But if you really listened, like, we're covering all sides of it, like all the good and the bad and the ugly of our experience.
Yeah. And I feel like a lot of it is positive. I feel like the majority of our podcast is positive.
Yeah. And as far as like framing Playboy for what it was, as far as like how we saw it before we joined it and what the impact was, I feel like we're some of the few people doing that effectively.
Because we know how exciting Playboy was back in the early 2000s and how it was the thing you wanted to be a part of. And I feel like we're able to articulate that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just weird. Like, I'm not saying like she has to agree with everything I say or have the same opinion, but it's interesting. And I'm interested to talk to her about it. I mean, it just boils down to like a lack of communication. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like maybe if I had reached out to Victoria somewhere along the line, this wouldn't have happened or, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm nervous to even like meet her. Like, I'm not nervous, but I just don't know where to start when I meet her for lunch because I feel like there's just so much to cover and so much to catch up on. And also, I think some other things Playboy related, we don't have to go into them here, but I think we'd have more in common than she would think. Like things we've talked about with other people this week.
Yeah.
I think we might be on the same page about more things than people would think.
Oh, I think we're all on the same page more than any of them think.
Mm-hmm. I think so too.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, I just want to like scream at them. We're not the enemy. Did Jonathan talk to you after the book?
I didn't really keep in touch with Jonathan. I was more like Victoria.
Well, he was also on Secrets of Playboy.
Yeah. Anti-me though. I think too, that's another part of the burn for people like John and Dickie Ban and Allison and Joel is clearly they agreed to participate in Secrets of Playboy thinking it was at least going to be like more well-rounded, if not totally positive, because they would have never participated if they thought it was going to be negative.
Well, I know at least Dickie doesn't have that excuse because before he participated, I told him.
That's true. That is true.
And he was in denial.
Yeah.
He thought that they were going to be fair and balanced. And honestly, and not that they weren't being fair. I'm not trying to say that. But I mean, in his eyes, fair and balanced, you know? And honestly, like, I thought it was going to show both sides a little bit more, too. And that's why I was like, well, I didn't think so at first. And that's why I didn't want to share my story. But then they told me that it would be. So I was like, okay, well, then my story makes sense. But then it wasn't.
Yeah.
So they definitely, I think, lied to people. But Dickie, I told him.
Yeah, well, when I was interviewed, the director told me that she talked to Dickie Ban. And then I got alarmed and I talked to my agent and I was like, I think I've been tricked into this because there's no way Dickie Ban would do this show unless it was going to be positive. So I feel like maybe they're taking my interview and trying to like twist it into something it's not. But yeah, I think those people who were interviewed feel really betrayed. But it gets taken out on me, not just anybody who like made the documentary and stuff.
Yeah. I still think it boils down to you just getting blamed for the whole thing.
Yeah. And I think people are mad too because like I have my life together and life is good. Like I feel like if I was doing interviews like that and I looked like I just like rolled out of rehab and out of a tent on the street, people would be like, oh, she's had it really rough. But like people can't reconcile that you can make lemonade out of lemons and be okay and be good and still look back and be like, wow, that was a ride. I wouldn't recommend anybody else. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think people can't reconcile that.
Well, because if it was so bad, how come you're not still traumatized to this day? How come it still hasn't affected you?
That's what they don't know. Like, that's why I won't even watch that episode of the show.
No, but I feel like that's what they're thinking. You know, yeah. Well, she looks like she's doing fine. She's recovered. Mm-hmm. Look at her. Look at her with her house. Look at her with her car. Look at her with her family. Look at her with this. Like, how traumatized are you? Like, right. I feel like that is the look that they have. Whereas it looked like you were doing bad and barely scraping by and had to move home to Oregon and like that kind of stuff, then they might have a little more sympathy for how this affects.
Yeah.
Even though that's not okay to like try and like do it that way.
Yeah. And it's not how the world works. Like sometimes you are lucky and can suck it up and turn it into something good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I don't know where to wrap it up except Victoria and I are meeting up and hopefully we can talk it out. And
yeah, I'll be so interested to hear how everything
come
goes.
To some kind of understanding.
You have to keep us all posted.
Yeah. Because it's not like I can't understand how she and other people might feel. Like, I felt compelled in part to write my book because every single day I leave the house and be met with people who want to ask me about Hef and want to assume it's so great and that that was so amazing. And I'm expected to cheerlead a really toxic relationship that I wouldn't recommend to everybody. And I feel like they go through that in a way, too, because anywhere they go, if they're recognized as a playmate or whatever, it's like, oh, what about those trafficking tunnels? Not that I think trafficking tunnels are a thing, but you know, it's frustrating to get hit by other people's expectations.
Mm-hmm.
But sadly, we get turned in against each other. And like these decades-long friendships are brought to an end because we're all so irritated with everyone else's expectations, I think is what it boils down to.
Yeah. Well, hopefully everything goes well and maybe we can have her on as an interview.
Yeah, that'd be totally fun. So if you'd like more content, go to our Patreon at patreon.com/girlsnextlevel and we'll see you guys next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.